This is an invitation to spend 15 minutes with the Bible. This is the seventh program of this series. I'm Bill Boyd, the preacher for the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is between McMinnville and Biola, just across from Mount Zion Road, and all are welcome to all of our services. We've been looking at Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 19, where Jesus had come to Caesarea Philippi, and he had asked, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And after getting various answers, he asked Simon Peter, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And I want to direct your attention to Matthew 16 and verse 18, where Jesus said unto Peter, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." I want to discuss this idea of the church for a few minutes on this program. You might want to underline that in your Bible, Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, where he says, "I'll build my church." You might want to underline that word church and write, maybe in the margin of your Bible, that this is the first mention of the church in the New Testament. Now that's significant. Jesus is talking about building his church. And of course there is an analogy here of building a building. And we read where Peter talks about how we come to this building as living stones. Now Jesus Christ himself is the chief cornerstone. And we're built together with him to form his church. As we conform to the chief cornerstone of that church, which is that foundation, that is Jesus Christ, and then we are built into this holy temple unto the Lord. But in truth, when the Lord says, "Upon this rock I'll build my church," though it's an analogy, he's not really saying, "Upon this rock I will build my church building." You know, a lot of times what we do, we will identify the place where we assemble to worship as the church. It may not even be a worship time, and someone may say, "Well, I need to go down to the church," and maybe he's going down there to mow the lawn or to wash the windows or to clean out the baptistry, or maybe we are going there to worship, but when we say the church, we're sometimes talking about the building. Now, the building is the place where those who make up the church meet. But the church itself is not a building. The church is the people who assemble in that building. Now, the call the building the church, it's kind of a natural evolution of language. The Jews had a word that was similar to the word church, and the word church, often in the New Testament, we're talking about assembly. That's what the word, and some translations will translate the word translated church. Instead, they will translate it assembly. And the Jews had a word for assembly. It was the word synagogue. It's the Hebrew word for assembly, just like the word translated church, ekklesia, is a Greek word for the word church. And it's interesting, when the Jews are spread all around the world, they would gather together in assemblies to read from the old law and receive instruction as to its meaning and their purpose, and that helped make them a distinct people. Now, they would build buildings for them to assemble in, and they started calling that building their assembling place, their synagogue. And so while the word synagogue means assembly, it later became to be applied to the building where they assemble. And much the same thing has happened to the word church. The word church, really, usually, it's talking about the assembly. But the building where we assemble to worship as the church is sometimes then called the church. And while that is a natural evolution of the language, that something like that would happen, that is never what it is called in the New Testament. The New Testament never identifies the church as a building. It is always the people who assemble, whether they assemble in a synagogue or in a portico of the temple or down by the riverside or in a schoolhouse or in a home. The church is the people and not the building. But the Lord using an analogy here when he says, upon this rock I will build my church. Now here, the word assembly really doesn't fit very well. He's not saying, upon this rock I will build my assembly. There's another meaning of the word church, and it goes back to, well, it's the etymology of the word. And when we use a word like etymology, we're talking about where the word comes from. What is the origins of the word? And looking at the parts that make up that word. That word, ekklesia, is the Greek word translated church. And that word ek means out. And the part that says klesia, well, that's a word that's derived from the word that means to be called. And so, etymologically, when you're talking about the meaning of the word, etymologically, the origin of it, the word means the called out. It's my understanding that some of the modern lexicons say, while that might be the origin of the word, that's not how the word is used in the New Testament. Now, I have great respect for those lexicographers, but I will have to say this. I beg to differ with them on that. I'll tell you what these lexicographers do. Those who put together the lexicons and the dictionary, we sometimes think of, well, they give us the definition of the word, and in a sense they do. But really what they are doing is showing us how that word is used. Now, as far as the use of a word in the New Testament, I have the same source of information that the lexicographers have. I have the New Testament, and actually it's not too difficult with the computer programs and the helps we have to look those words up in their original language. And we can see how they are used, and we can actually check the lexicographers. And I will say this, you need to show them a lot of respect. They've done their research, but they are not always correct. I'll tell you, the final authority on the use of a word is how the word is used in the New Testament. And when Jesus says, upon this rock, I will build my church, he's not saying he would build an assembly. That there is no specific assembly he is talking about. Now, it is true that throughout the New Testament, we read the word church, and it's talking about those who assembled. And that's usually in a local sense, like the church at Jerusalem, or the church at Antioch, or the church at Rome. But he's not talking here about any particular assembly. He's talking about a broader sense of the idea of the church, in the sense that it is the called out. And that's not the only place the word is used in that way. In Acts chapter 7 in verse 38, we read about the children of Israel that had come out of Egypt and they were in the wilderness. Acts 7 verse 38, they are called the church in the wilderness. Well, they're called that because they were called out of Egypt. We read in Exodus chapter 4 in verse 21, the Lord said unto Moses, when thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh which I put in thy hand, but I will harden his heart that he will not let the people go. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, let my son go that he may serve me. We later read in Hosea 11 and verse 1, where God says, Israel is my son. And he says, out of Egypt have I called my son. Well, the reason the children of Israel that had left Egypt and were in the wilderness are called the church in Acts 7 and verse 38 is not because they assembled, but because they were called out of Egypt. Now, that's why the Lord refers to his people as the church, because they are the called out, not called out of Egypt, but called out of a world of sin and separated from them. That word church is associated with that word saint, set apart and holy. And so the saints make up the church. Now, we're called by the gospel. In 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14, it tells us that we are called by the gospel. And so when Jesus says that upon this rock I'll build my church, he is saying upon this rock I will build those who are called out. Now, you might say, I will assemble those who are called out into this great temple that will be for the worship of me. And that would fit the analogy. But when the church is spoken of in the New Testament, in a universal sense of all of the saved, well, the idea is that they are those who are called out. When it's spoken of in a local sense, when it comes to those who assemble in a particular location, well, then it is the idea of the assembly. And so you have to look at the context and see how the word is used, and that's the best way to determine its particular use in any particular place is to look at the context. But I want you to notice this point here. The church is used, that word, church, is used in two senses in the New Testament. It's used in the universal sense of all who are saved, the called out, and it's used in a local sense of those who assemble to worship God, those saints who assemble together for worship. Now, that's the only two senses in which that word church is used. Here's the significance of that. The word church is not used in a denominational sense at all in the New Testament. Think about a denomination. What is a denomination? Does any particular one denomination consist of all of the saved? Why, every person in every denomination would deny that. There are people that will say, no, there are those outside of our denomination who are saved. And so a denomination is not a church in the universal sense. And neither is a denomination a church in the local sense of a local assembly. Because it takes several of these assemblies, several local churches that band together to form a denomination. So the word church is not used in a denominational sense at all. When someone says, what church are you a member of? A lot of times they're asking, well, what denomination are you a member of? Well, in the New Testament, there was no denomination. There was all of the Lord's saved who had been called out of sin, and then there were among those saved those that would gather together in a specific locality and assemble. And so there's the church in the local sense and universal sense, but never in a denominational sense. You see, we can be a church like they were. But those that were baptized into Christ in the New Testament were added to the church. They were not added to any denomination. And there's no reason for any Christian today to ever join a denomination. They can simply be added to the Lord's church. And then they can seek out others who have been added to the Lord's church and come together in a local assembly and have fellowship with one another and worship with one another and serve God together as that group. And so that's the New Testament idea of the church. I want you to notice also Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. Notice how that word church is singular. He doesn't say, upon this rock I'll build my churches, as though he said, upon this rock I'll build my denominations. And he's not talking about building a denomination. Jesus never did build a denomination. When he says, upon this rock I'll build my church, he's talking about it in the singular sense. And it is evident when we read the New Testament that there is but one church. And those who were baptized into Christ were Christians and added to that one church and never joined a denomination. Now that's what we can do. We can be added to the Lord's church and never join a denomination. This has been 15 Minutes with the Bible. I am Bill Boyd. You may email me or text me at wmhboyd@aol.com. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.